You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
David Means is a master of the short story, an art that he has been practicing for over 25 years. But his latest book, Histopia, is his first novel, and complicating things, it's in the form of a novel within a novel. It takes place during the 1970s in an alternative history where President Kennedy is serving his third term after surviving a number of assassination attempts, and the Vietnam War has been raging for 12 years. The country is full of traumatized vets whom the government treats with a system known as unfolding that, when successful, allows them to suppress their traumatic memories. Histopia, which has been long listed for the Man Booker Prize, is published by Farris Straus and Giroux, and I'm very pleased that it has brought David Means to our show today. Welcome.
Thank you, Leonard. Good to be here.
And you're not a Brit or or somebody from one of the colonies or the Commonwealth, but nowadays you can also be nominated for Man Booker?
Yes, I think it's. I think we've been allowed into the prize category for 2 years now. Although there is a little, I think there's some slight controversy about it over in the UK.
You've published four well-received short story collections. Had you always planned to write a novel?
You know, I did have the impulse. Of course, you know the publishers want a novel, and that's the big kahuna. But. It took a long time.
Well, there are advantages to both. A short story doesn't have to have a conclusion, but we usually expect a conclusion or something like that in a novel. Also, the novel form allows you to indulge in a lot more digressions.
Yeah. It's a cliche almost to say they're completely different forms. I mean, the story is a glimpse. It's a fragment of something, and it has to radiate out on both sides. A novel has to have a certain coherency and a unification, and it has to sort of allow a story to play out over a long span. It's a completely different thing.
But you created a complicated situation for yourself in structuring the book as a book within a book.
I did. I don't really think of it as a book within a book.
There's a novel here.
It's a complete sort of. I think of it as a complete sort of coherent whole. But the big part of the narrative is framed by these author notes and a few commentaries on what you're about to read.
Eugene Allen is the fictional author of the novel here. Why is he writing it?
Well, Eugene has come back from Vietnam, and he has a family. He's traumatized, but he also has a family trauma going on with his sister. So I imagined him first, and I imagined the author notes and all of the frame material, and that kind of gave me an in to the nature of his personality and his mind, and then it allowed me to write the main novel that he writes.
Haven't you had something of a traumatic life in some ways? Haven't you said that you write around that?
Well, I think, most writers do have a seed of some kind of trauma.
You have to suffer to make great art?
Maybe you don't have to, but it doesn't hurt. I do have a family trauma, and I'm old enough to have absorbed the Vietnam era, and some of my family members were caught up in that era.
You grew up in Michigan during the war? How aware were you as a kid of what was going on?
Incredibly aware. I think I absorbed, the imagery and the news reports. And I remember vividly seeing a Life magazine photograph, or maybe it was Time magazine, of a soldier, probably a Viet Cong, holding up a trophy head. I vividly remember that sensation of what is this and being horrified. And also I remember asking my father, am I going to have to go?
If the war had gone on long enough, maybe yes.
Maybe yes. The guys in my neighborhood, people in my neighborhood, working class people went. And that was another concern of mine with the novel. I was really interested in the working class aspect of it, and the fact that many people early in the war in particular enlisted basically because they knew they were going to be drafted, whereas other people went off to college and found ways to avoid it.
In Kalamazoo, well, Kalamazoo was on the more prosperous side of Michigan.
Yeah, Kalamazoo was...
People from Detroit were more likely to enlist.
Well, Kalamazoo was a working-class town. I mean, I lived near a paper mill. They made spiral notebooks. The guy who invented the spiral notebook supposedly lived down the block from
I'll
me.
Always be grateful.
And, you know, we had a large... It was a working town.
The novel in this book is published posthumously after Eugene Allen committed suicide. We tend to think of art and creation as life-affirming. Did his suicide indicate that he felt that he'd failed or that the novel had failed him?
Not really. I mean, this is one of those situations where you never correct the critics. And I'm not going to go there, but there's...
That's where I got that notion, obviously.
There's a slight indication in, you know, the author's notes are in a slightly alternative world, too. And there's a little hint that perhaps Eugene wrote the entire thing. So it's although he's indicating that he's committing suicide, there's no exact evidence that he's done so.
Talk a bit about unfolding.
Well, in the novel, there's a drug. I created this alternate universe, which is actually something I don't particularly like that phrase because it's counterfactual, but I think all history is.
Well, you create a situation where Kennedy serves a third term, which, of course, would be impossible because there's an amendment to the Constitution that doesn't allow that.
But then there was another amendment.
That you created.
In a Rooseveltian mode. Well, the whole point of it was to create a... You know, and I didn't know this as I was writing it, but to create a medication that would allow trauma to be unfolded, which in turn allowed me to have their story submerged. And there are ways to unfold this submerged narrative and then have them share, because I wanted them eventually to come together and reunite and share their common story. They were all of the characters were together in Vietnam.
Do you identify at all with Eugene Allen? Like you, he is a Midwesterner, and according to the book, he suffered from holding up syndrome, something that's typical of people in the Midwest, at least according to this. Didn't you, in fact, exhibit signs of holding up syndrome as a kid?
I think most writers do. It's that sensation of just sort of wanting to hide and be in seclusion and find silence. Eugene, my grandfather's name was Allen, Harold Allen. He's a character in the book. There's a number of characters who are real names from my life, many used with permission. So I saw Eugene Allen as a sort of doppelganger of myself.
My guest is David Means, whose latest book is a novel, Histopia. Obviously a take on the word dystopia.
Yeah,
you invented it.
I did. I saw it a combination also of the word hysterical and the deeper roots of of that word, going all the way back to the lunar cycle, the Latin.
One of your concerns as a writer has been the subjective experience of time, in the same way that Proust thought about it.
I think so. I think all writers, you know, are navigating and exploring time. I was thinking on the train here that Faulkner said that the past is never dead. It's not even past. And I would counter with the past was never alive except when it was the present. You know, to write a narrative, you have to be believe in the present moment of the narrative. And so if you're going to write a historical or an alternate history, you have to believe in that history as you're writing it.
Does time exist differently in a novel than it does in a short story?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. I mean, you know, the thing I love about the short story form is you can really just sort of abuse the readers and make the reader do this tremendous amount of work with time. But in the novel, you have to kind of give them everything.
Getting back to that Faulkner quote, is part of the problem for traumatized people that their trauma prevents them from experiencing the present moment? They can't get away from the thing that traumatized them?
I think so. I mean, you know, Jonathan Shea, Dr. Jonathan Shea.
You quote him in this book?
I do.
And Jack Kerouac.
I do. And you know, he's influenced a lot of veteran writers who are more contemporary Iraqi war writers. And, you know, Shea calls... trauma, post-traumatic stress, a moral injury. And I think when you've been injured, when you have a pain, when your leg is broken and you're hobbling around and you're not healed, time does change and you can't get your mind off that pain. So I think when you're injured in warfare, and your sense of time is going to be completely different.
So I'm assuming that although you said that you had wanted to write a novel about Vietnam for a long time, you were also inspired by the wars that we are still engaged in and by the way veterans are being treated today. In the past, Vietnam vets all complained that they came back and they were spat upon, although I'm not sure that happened very often. But today, veterans are all treated as returning, I guess, hurt people.
Yeah, and I don't want anyone to think that I think all veterans are hurt or injured. They're not. You know, war is a cultural thing, and it influences the culture into which these veterans return. So it's complicated, the nature of the way a society embraces or doesn't embrace soldiers who were sent off in their name.
The novel that's written by Eugene Allen is about a veteran who abducts a woman and travels around committing acts of violence and murder. Is this based on anything that actually happened?
Well, you know, not to me. There is something that it is based on in my family history, but and I feel cagey and I feel like not, you know, I feel a little like I'm betraying the audience
okay.
by saying I can't actually go into it.
Spoilers are spoiler alerts are okay.
But also, we have plenty of psychopaths roaming the countryside. I didn't need to go very far to find the material to imagine that.
In the book, Kennedy has survived the first assassination attempt and seems to be traveling around the country inviting others. Is that kind of a metaphor for the United States?
I didn't think of it that way when I was writing it, but I definitely think it is. I mean, there's an arrogance and a pomposity and a sort of almost daring history that, you know, we went back to Iraq. Many people, I would say 50% of the population, sort of thought it was a bad idea, and yet we did it anyway. We did not learn our lesson from Vietnam. And I just began to imagine Kennedy sort of going out and testing the fates.
And he's created a psyche Corps, an alternative to the Peace Corps.
Yeah, I figured his sister was, you know, was mentally ill and had the tragic lobotomy, and I thought, well, maybe, you know, he'd also, if we had this medication, he'd try to solve the issue of mental illness in America.
And lobotomies cause forgetting. Is forgetting a bad thing?
I think there's various kinds of forgetting, and I think there's various modes of forgetting. And I mean, it's too much to say that forgetting is a bad thing, but forgetting history and forgetting and not internalizing certain aspects of your life into your current narrative, that's a bad thing.
Now, you mentioned Jonathan Shea, and the quote you have from him reads in part, "Traumatic memory is not narrative." What does that quote mean in the context of this book?
Well, the painful memory is I'm talking about acute pain. I'm talking about you know, post-traumatic shock and a sense of sort of absolute betrayal of your own narrative. That can't be incorporated into the sort of flow of your own narrative unless you go through certain steps of grieving and certain processes of understanding what you went through in relation to the larger world. So I think what he's saying is that it's fragmented when it's not put together in healing.
The other quote is from Jack Kerouac. I'm assuming this came from late in his life when he stopped being on the road. He said, "So you people don't believe in God, so you're all big, smart, know-it-all Marxists and Freudians, hey?" What are you trying to tell us that? Do you believe in God or in some kind of spiritual grace?
I do. I'm a problematic believer, like many writers, Dostoevsky for one.
Flannery O'Connor, who you've been compared to many times.
Yeah, I think
who it's, also was very religious.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's, you know, in this, it's an incredibly hard thing to talk about in the culture that we're in. I mean, to say that you're a believer, I mean, that's that can bring out all kinds of counter statements that I don't even really want to deal with. But I believe in a sort of bigger cosmology and not necessarily a life after death kind of thing, but a bigger sense of time.
At the same time, pretty much all your writing is dark.
It is. It is. That's true.
Which might suggest that Satan really is in charge.
I don't think so. I mean, I those moments of acute, for me as a writer, though, like O'Connor, those moments of sort of acute anger, violence, are where some kind of understanding comes out for me.
Did you enjoy writing the novel? Do you think you'll start writing more novels, or are you back to the short story?
I didn't particularly enjoy the length of time it took me to write this thing. But once my father...
What about the revisions?
I didn't mind the revisions because as a story writer, that's all you basically do all the time. But, it took a certain process for me to sort of go over the hump. And part of it was that my father died a few years ago, and I'm older now, and I just sort of I'm definitely going to write another novel, and I'm actually thinking if I can do it, it won't be quite as dark.
David Means is the author of 4 short story collections, including The Spot, Assorted Fire Events, which was a finalist for the National Book Critics Circle Award and winner of the Los Angeles Times Book Prize for Fiction, and The Secret Goldfish, which was shortlisted for the Frank O'Connor International Short Story Prize. He has been published pretty much everywhere, he got 2 O. Henry Prizes, 2 Pushcart Prizes, and now he has written a novel called Histopia. It is published by Farrar, Straus & Giroux, and it has been my great pleasure to speak with you, David Means.
Thank you, Leonard.